1-800-831-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion. The issue today, we'll be speaking about the lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. The scripture is very, very clear in relationship to the dangers of the lack of knowledge. The Bible warns us in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." And we're going to talk about today the lack of knowledge, and in particular, we'll be talking about the lack of knowledge when it comes to Islam, the Islamic goals, and what is taking place in the Middle East. There are a lot of people today that do not know, either willfully ignorant, let me pause a minute, either willfully ignorant or just plain ignorant about what is taking place in the Middle East. There are those by the thousands demonstrating in our streets, in our cities, in America, and around the globe, saying, from the river to the sea, Palestine to be free. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no ethnic group ever in the history of the world called Palestinians. They're calling themselves that. They're Islamic jihadists. It's the Arab people that want to destroy the Jewish people. Across America, we're witnessing today hundreds and thousands of young men and young women marching in our cities, marching in the streets, marching on the university campuses, shouting that from the river to the sea, set Palestine free. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about today some things that I believe would be enlightening and challenging. We're going to talk about the Quran, the Noble Quran. That's what it's called. It's the Noble Quran. You can spell that with a Q or a K. Either way is academically correct. We'll talk about what the Quran says, which is what the Islamics believe, which counters anything that we believe as conservatives and as Christians. That's our discussion today. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and the discussion. I'll be quoting from one of my books, is Islam Tolerant, 25 chapters, about 325 pages in length. We'll be talking about what's in that book. By the way, I recommend that to each and every one of you. Each and every one. In fact, let's do this. I have not pondered this, Dr. Davis, but I believe what we'll do today, every caller that calls in with a question or comment to discuss the Islamic fiasco and what is taking place, and we're talking about the lack of knowledge, for each one that calls in today, if you're interested in it, my book is Islam Tolerant. 25 chapters, 324 pages. We'll send that book to you free of charge for your call today. If you're interested in getting the book free of charge, when you call in, leave your name, address, telephone number with our call screener, AJ, and AJ will write that down so that then we can ship you that book. Is Islam Tolerant? And by the way, the bottom line is the answer to that is no, they're not tolerant. It's the most intolerant religion, most intolerant group of people on the face of the globe. But Pastor Davis and I will be talking about that today because so many Christians and conservatives literally do not have the knowledge to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. And we are, I believe, in grave condition as a nation as a result of the ignorance of what is taking place on a global basis. And that telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, right after the monologue, the lines will be open, 904-831-0917. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. I call it having a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about these events, these things? Does the Bible give us clarity? Does the Bible give us information that we should know in relationship to where we are today and how to answer the question and how to respond to the issues that we're faced with, especially this that is on the top burner, as I call it today? We're on a global basis. Jews are being slaughtered. Jews are being condemned. Jewish people are being rejected. The Jewish people are running in fear, having to hide. And in France, haven't even changed their names, traveling incognito to preserve their lives. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. In John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." How long is forever? It's forever. And I believe we need to stick to that and understand it. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where so many people reject truth, refuse to accept or embrace truth. Goes back to the secularist George Orwell. George Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be very, very factual in society today. Most people today are interested in what they believe to be true and not what is true. And this is the reason I go back to the statement by former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. He said, "America's decline is linked to the death of truth." He says, and I quote, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume that whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." And ladies and gentlemen, to cap that off, the latest survey shows that the 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. That is simply not true. You've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I will say it again. A half truth is a whole lie. And so it's either whole truth or it's not truth at all. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. We as Christians, conservatives, patriots, need to know the truth and stand for the truth, defending the truth, regardless of what others may think, say, or do. It is truth that shall prevail. It is the truth of the Lord that endures forever. So as a result of what we're seeing happening in society today, we need to understand that we need to know more about what is taking place and learn the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a beautiful, gigantic benchmark identifier, 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing at the top of that flagpole. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion today. I'm thankful to have Dr. Davis with us. Dr. Davis is from up in coal country, Georgia.
No. Amen. Amen.
Dr. Davis,
where the frost really resides.
That's right. That's where the frost resides.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for allowing me to be here. Well, let me thank God for allowing me to be here.
Amen.
And then next, amen, for you inviting me to be here, like usual on Fridays. And thank God. I mean, I'm always thankful to be able to be here to share the Word of God with the people of God. And let me at this time say good morning to my bride of 37 years and all of my family and friends that are listening on today, and faithful listeners.
Amen.
That supported me a couple of weeks ago when you were out and I had to do the broadcast a couple of Fridays ago. We got many callers that day, including my big sister.
That's good.
And I thank God for all of those that called in and those who support us from time to time.
Amen.
It's glad. I mean, we're glad to know that you're listening and that you're interested in this research, this information that we're trying to provide for the body of Christ. And let me commend you, Dr. Youngblood, for such an excellent book that you have written here concerning Islam, because I don't know how many might be like me. I mean, I've never done a lot of research on the religion until I came to CTU. And I thank God for that, because my dissertation was also had something to do with, you know, that particular religion. And I'm thankful to God for being able to research and find out more about it. So let me recommend this book to any of you on today. Call us today so that you can get your copy. There's a lot of valuable information in there. Being Dr. Youngblood, that we have these type of people that live among us in America, and we might not even know who's here right now, because they're crossing the borders because of the weakness of this administration.
Yes, and Pastor Davis, if I could jump in for just a moment, differing statisticians have given us different figures, but somewhere between 8 and 10 million undocumented, as they like to call it, illegal invaders is what I call them, that's coming into America. And when they had the debate last evening with Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis, and Sean Hannity was hosting the debate, he brought up a chart that showed the different countries that people are coming in from into America. And I was shocked at the number of people coming in from China and Russia and Iran. I was shocked at those numbers, by the thousands. In fact, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, just admitted to the one of the House investigatory board commissions just recently. Christopher Wray admitted that we probably already have some sleeping cells in America waiting to attack inside America.
Amen.
As
Amen.
A result of the open border.
Well, as I told you, Dr. Youngblood, I believe a few weeks ago, I said this a couple of times on the broadcast, that a friend of mine let me know that there is a cell in Jessup, Georgia. That's about 30 minutes away from where I live. So now, for that reason, I'm glad to know all the information I need to know about these type of people so that I can be prepared. So if it comes down to me having to defend myself and my family, that I will be ready. Now, we need to know this. Again, it's very important for us to know, because people like that have ill intentions for the country of America and its citizens.
Yes.
So if you don't know what to expect, you can be caught off guard. And my friend, let me tell you, the end results are going to be catastrophic.
One of the things, Pastor, that is very, very troublesome to me is that we have so many that are professing Christians that you'd be surprised, and perhaps we have those that are listening would like to call and have dialogue on that subject. There's so many Christians in America today that are so anemic on the Word of God that they follow in the footsteps of Rick Warren and his mantra of Chrislam, that Islam and Christianity are simply sister religions, and that is simply untrue.
My, my.
There are a number of weak Christians, and I say that with all due benevolence, that are weak in the Word, ignorant of the Word, immature in the Word, and as a result of that, they will embrace whatever is being mantraed or being said by the crowds in our nation and around the world. I'm looking at a headline, Pastor. Groups behind Israel bashing protest. That's the protest now that's in our streets in America and around the globe. The group behind Israel bashing protest backing Hamas got approximately $15 million from George Soros. The date of this article is October the 28th of this year. It says George Soros of the Open Society Foundation has funneled over $16.3 million in grants to the recent pro-Palestinian protest. Now, if you wonder, and I have seen those that have wondered honestly, and those that have not thought about it, how do these kids, I say kids, they're airheads, college-age students, how do they afford to be out of class and on the streets days and days and days, week in and week out, with the custom-made signs waving it and chanting the mantra against Israel and for Palestine? It's because in many cases, if not all, many cases, they're being paid. Here's an article that says, in this same article, a post-examination of the Open Society Foundation records show that George Soros' grant-making network gave millions upon millions of dollars through the Tide Center, a deep-pocketed leftist advocacy group that supports several nonprofits who justified Hamas's bloody attack while claiming Palestinians obsessed with the eradication of the Jewish state are the real victims, end quote. Further, the article states, the Open Foundation Society gave $60,000 in 2018 to the Arab American Association in New York City, a group co-founded by the politically connected activists that helped plan the ill-fated flood Babylon or Brooklyn from Palestine protest on the bridge on October the 21st. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want us to understand, this that is taking place is not something that just has grown, if you please, overnight out of love for the Arab Islamic jihadists. It's because it's being funded, promulgated, pushed, and nurtured by the globalists that want to see America destroyed. And I'm saddened when I read articles, Pastor Davis, that says the polls show that 57.5% of Muslim Americans say that Hamas invasion was justified.
My,
now,
my.
Pastor, simply from a conservative standpoint, from a patriotic standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, is there any justification on at any level for what we have witnessed in the Middle East with the war that's taking place there? Can we, anybody in their right mind, justify the slaughter of about 1,400 Jewish people, beheading of babies, the murder, the rape, and the terrorism that's taken place? Can that be justified in any fashion, in any way?
I can't see that happening, Dr. Youngblood, not from anybody that has a working knowledge of Scripture. Let me just go back to that, because that's where all the truth is contained.
That's right.
God gave the land of Israel to his people years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to even go back through that, because we can spend the rest of this broadcast talking about the covenants down through the years.
Yes.
And how the promise never ceased. It never went out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's still good today, because God's word never fails away.
Never fails.
In fact, he said, before one jot or one tittle of my word fail, the heaven and earth will pass away. So he's promising us that his word is not going to go under. It's going to accomplish that, what he sets out for it to do, Isaiah 55.
Right.
So let us understand. Let us make sure we get that working knowledge so that when these type of things come up, we don't jump on the bandwagon with other people. Because what was another thing that was so pathetic to me, to let me know that they don't have a full working knowledge of, let me just say, righteousness altogether in a nutshell.
That's right.
Okay, on Thanksgiving Day, when we were supposed to be telling God thank you and being thankful for the things that he's blessed us with in this nation, mm-hmm. they decided to put a blockade in front of the Thanksgiving Day parade coming down the streets. Mm-hmm. Now, we all saw that on national television. That didn't make a lot of sense to me, because here again, going back to what you're saying now, these people don't have a working knowledge of what's right, neither what's contained in the scriptures, which are the truth. If they did, they wouldn't be performing such acts. It's very, can I say, degrading when we have people who have proclaimed themselves to be American citizens. They're not abiding by the principles of this country. When they took their oath, or if they got their green card, let me put it that way. Some of them don't.
Yep.
Many undocumented, like you said. But they have to take a pledge that they're going to abide by the principles, the rules, the bylaws, the constitution of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, as soon as they get their foot in the door, they start protesting. That's not right.
I'm always amazed at those that will come to America because they claim they want America, they want what America has, they want American freedom. But once they get here, like so many, I think we got 3, 4, 5, or 6 in the U.S. House of Representatives that I believe need to be shipped back to their home of origin.
Amen.
They'll claim that they love America, want America, and then come in and start waving another national flag, waving another national belief system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm against that. And when you find what we see taking place today, it should cause any sane person, Christian, conservative, and patriots alike, to sit up and say, is there something I'm not understanding? Is there something that's missing? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a few moments and read directly from some of the surahs found in the Quran. This should set the stage, Pastor Davis. What I'm wanting our listeners to understand is the reality of what we're dealing with, the reality of what Islam is, what Islam believes, what Islam stands on, so that we can understand. And you touched on it a moment ago so poignantly. There's no point in arguing, debating who owns the land.
Amen.
God gave them the title deed to the land. When I say them, I'm speaking of the Jewish people. God gave the Jewish people the title deed to the land. So put that aside. There's no argument about that. There's no point in debating that. The little sliver of land called Gaza, which is about 6 miles across and about 25 miles long, called the Gaza Strip, Israel surrendered that to the Arab jihadist for satisfying the global pressure on Israel. Israel gave that to them in 2005. Them, speaking of those that they're now calling the Palestinians, gave that to them. The Palestinians, as they called themselves, put in a position where they elected, Pastor, most don't know this, the people in Gaza elected by voting for Hamas to be their leaders. And now, somehow, some way, it's supposed to be America that's wrong. It's supposed to be Israel that's wrong. Somehow, some way, we're to blame and Israel's to blame for what Hamas has done. No, it's Hamas that has the goal of destroying. It was Franklin Graham, I reckon it was 3 weeks ago, Franklin Graham, I don't have the article before me, but Franklin Graham said, Hamas has one goal, and that's to kill every Jew and every Christian worldwide.
My.
Worldwide. Now, is he right or wrong? He's 100% correct. How do I know that? Because it comes from the Quran. Surah 3, that, by the way, Pastor, for our edification of our listener, we call them chapters. They call them surahs. So in chapter 3, verse 151, they call it Surah 3, 151 in the Quran. We will cast terror into the hearts of those who are non-Muslims. Surah 2, 191. And kill all non-believers, non-Muslims, wherever you find them. Kill them, such as the recompense of non-Muslims. Surah 2, 193. Fight them until there's no more disbelief in Allah. In Surah 2:16, jihad, that is holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim. Surah 4:56. For those who disbelieve, we shall burn them in fire. So, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as you hear these words, they're bone chilling. These words sound almost unbelievable when you read them coming from their, quote, holy book. So if that's what they're taught in their holy book, if that is what they are taught by the imams in the mosque, if that's what they're taught, then that's exactly what they're going to do in performance. And Pastor Davis, one of the things that is so sad, as I have researched it on a global basis, it is said that 88% of the Muslims are illiterate. They cannot read what their Quran says. So all they know is what they're told to believe, what they're told to believe. Why is it that we find now with some of those hostages that's been released, that some of them had been burned from the mufflers of motorcycles to put a mark on them so that they will know that they're the hostages? Some of those had been tortured, murdered by way of torture. And yet, somehow, some way, we shudder. Our minds cannot be wrapped around that. We can't understand it. It's because that's what the Quran says. Further, I'm reading from the Quran, Surah 4:56. Those who disbelieve, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 4:101. For the disbelievers, that's all non-Muslims, the ever-presently, they're your open enemies. Surah 4:102. Allah has prepared humiliation and torment for those who disbelieve. That is Islam, disbelieve in Islam. Surah 8:55. The worst moving living creatures before Allah are those who are non-Muslims. Two or three others, and then we'll make a transition. Surah 9:5. Kill the disbelievers, all non-Muslims, wherever you find them. Capture them, besiege them, lie in wait for them each and every day in ambush. Surah 9:14. Fight against them, non-Muslims, so that Allah will punish them by your hands and disgrace them and give you the victory over them. Surah 9:29. Fight against those who believe not in Allah and those, that's Jews and Christians, who acknowledge not the religion of Islam. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, many are not aware of the fact, Pastor Davis, that when the Pentagon released its findings about what had taken place on 9/11, in my book on page 36, Is Islam Tolerant? I've got a subdivision there that says the Quran and the Pentagon. Let me just read that brief paragraph. In a news article from the WorldNet Daily, dated September the 27th, 2006, the Pentagon task intelligence analysis to pinpoint what's driving Muslims after Muslims to do the unthinkable. Their findings is politically explosive. It's their holy book, the Quran. The Pentagon's intelligence analysts reached the conclusion that Muslim suicide bombers are in fact students of the Quran who are motivated to violence by the teachings of the Quran. And yet, there's the mindset, wonder why they do that. Wonder what is causing them to do that. It's simply because of what the Quran is teaching them. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. I'm with Pastor Davis today. We're talking about the lack of knowledge. Pastor, we got about a minute before our news break. What are your thoughts in relationship to the need for our listeners to know what is the motivation behind what is happening in the Middle East?
Well, let us understand again that God, He always had it right. Mm-hmm. But every time He said something pertaining to His people in the past, Old Testament people, and us today, New Testament people, He said, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge.
Right.
There is no reason for us not to be in the knowledge of what's going on. We can read scripture and get the truth from the word of God, and also, Dr. Youngblood, as you do, let's research articles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of printed information out there that comes out every day that we will never be aware of because we fail to pick up a newspaper and just read the articles.
That's right. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our thoughts on the lack of knowledge. What is it you need to know? What questions do you have in relationship to what's happening in the Middle East, in relationship to jihad by the Islamics? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr.